We're going to talk this morning about the time when he will come on the earth and he will rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the millennial reign. So these are very important. The first, so we've had four lessons. The rapture is when we'll all hear the trumpet call of God. So keep your ears open. We'll hear a trumpet call of God and we'll be snatched out of here in a split second. And then the tribulation will come, another period of time that the earth is going to go through when God's wrath is poured out upon the earth against sin of all mankind. And then the Lord's going to come back again and set up his kingdom on earth. He's going to do away with all wickedness and evil. We're going to see what the world will be like with Jesus ruling and reigning. It's going to be amazing. So those are the events, and today we want to just listen to Amir Safadi. He is going to talk about the millennial reign and explain that all to us this morning, what that's going to be like. So we'll just go right into that, Allison, and hear that.
All the old prophets, the prophets of the Old Testament, were given a revelation of what it will be when Jesus will reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. It will be peaceful in nature, and the world will be blessed with righteousness and justice. The Lord's throne will be established in Jerusalem, for he will occupy the throne of David. His government will be a theocratic, theos. It will be not democratic, it will be theocratic. God will be also the ruler. God will be also the political ruler. And it will be also and then of course he will serve as king, legislator, and judge. Amazing. The Bible says that the redeemed will reign with the Lord as princes. See, Isaiah says in 32 as princes, but we just heard we will be like priests and rulers. Look at yourself right now. Take your two fingers, touch yourself. If you're a believer, you're a future ruler, future prince or princess. Future priests. You understand? The Lord will be reigning from Jerusalem. The nation of Israel will be the prime nation in the world. Nowadays, we're not. Let's face it. The eyes of the whole world are at the Washington, D.C. nowadays. Anything that happens there makes worldwide news within seconds. Any word that the president of the U.S. says affects global markets today. But the day will come where Israel will be the prime nation in the world because the Lord will reign from there. That will be the new and the most important capital in the entire world. There's also a spiritual state of the millennial kingdom that we need to know. First of all, the glory and holiness of the Lord will be manifested. Isaiah 40, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 61, and Isaiah 66, all speaking of it. Holiness will abound, and an attitude of joy and praise will prevail. The ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. A rebuilt temple in Jerusalem will serve as the worship center of the entire world. There has to be a temple in Jerusalem. Therefore, if somebody says, we already live in the millennial kingdom, this is baloney. There is no temple in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not the capital of the world. And Jesus is not sitting there on the throne. The Bible says, incredibly, the Shekinah of glory of God will hover over the city of Jerusalem like a canopy. And the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow. What about the nature in the millennial kingdom? Another proof that we're not yet there. Because the Bible says the land of Israel will no longer be a place of desolation, which is true. Instead, the fruit of the earth will be pride of Israel. Waters will break forth from the wilderness. But then it says the animal kingdom will be restored to its original perfection. Poisonous animals will cease to be poisonous. Isn't that amazing? And meat-eating animals will become herbivorous. You know, people ask me if I'm vegetarian. I always tell them the steak that I eat is of a cow that is vegetarian. However, all animals will eat herbs once again. All members of the animal kingdom will live together in perfect peace. I mean, how often do you see in National Geographic Channel, you see how the cheetah or the tiger, they're running after an innocent deer and they just put their teeth in it and just devour it. That's not living in harmony, last time I checked. But they will live in harmony because the deer will not be any more food for the lion. It will be his friend. They will live in peace and with each other and also with mankind. When was the last time you went to the jungle and sat and had coffee with the lions? But we will be able to do that. During the millennial kingdom, there will be peace not only between the animals themselves, but also between mankind and animals. I mean, the cobra will go all around, stand like that, look at you, and smile. Now, we don't have it now, do we? But Isaiah said that we will have it. We can just look into Isaiah 65:25, just so you can understand what I'm talking about. In 65:25, trust me, I went over all those verses, and it says, and the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I mean, I'm sure all the animals will make fun of the lion. Look at you, became vegan. Okay. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains. Wow. So we see an amazing world. We see an amazing reality. Yet, most of the people in the world do not believe in the literal millennial kingdom. In fact, there is a great deception. And oftentimes, the enemy deceives people over the most important things. If it's not important, he doesn't need to deceive you. But if it's super important for your life, he will make sure you will be deceived. That's why Israel is the subject of the deception of the nations. Because if you believe that God chose them for a reason, for a season, for a purpose, and if you support them, and if you pray for them, then you do God's will. And then that proves that God exists. But if you believe that you are now the new Israel, you have replaced Israel, Israel is no longer God people, God forgot all about them, it's exactly the type of God Satan wants people to think that he is. That forgets, that is not keeping his covenant. And there is a great deception, and that deception alone shows me how important the millennial kingdom is all about. The Jewish people believe that all the description that I just read to you from Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets, this is the first coming of the Lord. You understand? They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah because they believe how come he came And we don't have that perfect world. Therefore, we conclude he's not the Messiah. Because in their mind, Messiah is not to come to save you from your sins. Messiah is to come and bring about peace, prosperity. Animals live together in peace. Jerusalem is once again the capital. The temple is once again in Jerusalem. They mix the second coming and the millennial kingdom with the first coming. They don't believe in the visitation. That's why Jesus said, Jerusalem, you've missed your visitation. I had to come first for the issue of sin and you did not know. Therefore, you're still in your sins. Therefore, you're so prideful. Therefore, you are so stubborn. Therefore, I will go again back to my place until they acknowledge their offense. And then, in their distress and affliction, they will earnestly seek me. So there's a great Jewish hope, but it's misidentifying the coming of the Messiah, thinking that the first coming is actually that one, whereas it's the second coming. But what about the Christians? You would think, okay, Jews may not understand, blindness in part has happened to Israel, okay. But do you know that most Christians are completely apathetic? There's a great, I call it the great Christian apathy. They're completely apathetic when it comes to the millennial kingdom. Most churches in the world today are amillennials. They believe there is no such thing. They say the amillennial viewpoint of end-time Bible prophecies, the majority view within the church today, held by both the Catholic Church and most mainline Protestant denominations. Amillennialists, by the way, are those who believe that Jesus is currently reigning over all the world from heaven through the church. They don't believe in a physical return and a physical reign of Jesus on earth. They therefore believe that we are in the millennium now. The last time I checked, since Jesus went up, there's already 2,000 years. So they're already wrong in 1,000 years. But then, of course, that they believe that it began at the cross and will continue until the second coming. But we're already past that time. Now, a lot of people are confused. Who is going to reign in Jerusalem? Is it going to be King Jesus or is it going to be King David? Because honestly, Ezekiel, for example, says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken. Then Jeremiah says, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So let me put it very clear. David will resurrect like all the Old Testament saints. He will be one of the princes like all of us will be. So, yes, David is coming back. There's no doubt about it. King David is going to come back, but not to reign instead of Jesus, but to reign with us together with Jesus. Is that clear? And we looked at it yesterday, but if you were not there, you might want to look at it again. The whole order of the resurrection, so you more or less understand how come David is there. You can see the first resurrection is comprised of all those who belong to God. All those who either believe in Jesus when he came, or were those whom God chose earlier in the Old Testament. So you can see Jesus is the first fruit from among those who fell asleep. So he's the one, the first one. Now, by the way, you might say, wait a minute, Lazarus was resurrected first. Well, I'm not talking about that type of resurrection. Lazarus resurrected, but hey, he died again. Jesus is the first person in the history of planet Earth that died, resurrected, and never died again. That's what it means, the resurrection. The resurrection is the resurrection for life. No more death. So first Jesus, then when the rapture comes, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive and remain will be caught up to be with him in the air, so the church will be resurrected. And then, in the middle of the tribulation, the two witnesses that are going to be killed by the Antichrist will resurrect, the Bible says. And then, of course, the Old Testament saints and the tribulation martyrs will also be resurrected. So all of them will be able to reign with us and Christ for 1,000 years. The only people that cannot be resurrected for the millennial kingdom are those who rejected Christ and those who did not believe in God and those who followed something else, and they will only be resurrected for the trial, for the great white throne of judgment at the end of the tribulation. And that is the second resurrection. So between the first resurrection and the second resurrection is the millennial kingdom. Okay, so David will be there. The Jews sometimes referred to the Messiah as David, by the way, because it was known that the Messiah would come from David's lineage. The New Testament often refers to Jesus as the son of David, both in Matthew and in Mark. There are other reasons besides being the son of David that the Messiah is referred to as David. King David in the Old Testament was a man after God's own heart. He was unlikely king of God's own choosing, and the Spirit of God was upon him, as 1 Samuel says. David then is a type of Christ. A type is a person who foreshadows someone else. Another example of this kind of typology is Elijah, whose ministry foreshadowed that of John the Baptist in the extent that Malachi called John Elijah. Same thing. They call Jesus David because of their foreshadowing. That's why the confusion. Make no mistake, David will be resurrected at the beginning of the millennium along with all the other Old Testament saints. David will be one of those who reign with Jesus in the kingdom. However, all believers will rule the nations, as we read. Even in Revelation we see that. And judge the world, according to 1 Corinthians 6:2. The Apostle Peter called Christians chosen race, royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We see, by the way, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, that Jesus says about the believer who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. And in some sense, then, Christians will also share the authority with Christ. There is some biblical evidence, as in the parable of the 10 minas, that individuals will be given more or less authority in the kingdom according to how they handle the responsibilities that God is giving them now in this age. Do you want to be in charge of many? Let's see how you do that now. If you're faithful in the small things, God will give you big things. If you're not, he will not. Jesus is the King of Kings in Revelation 19. Humanly speaking, Jesus is from the Davidic dynasty, but in power and glory and righteousness in every other way, he's rightly called the greater David. The government will be on his shoulders, as Isaiah 9:6. The Old and New Testament reveal that the future king during the millennium and all eternity is Jesus Christ and him alone. You can read it in Jeremiah, in Isaiah, in Revelation, and even in 1 Timothy. Where is he going to reign from, by the way? The Bible says that Jesus will return to his earth to reign from Jerusalem, not from Davao. Of all places, I'm speaking about this message from Davao, where there is a new Jerusalem. I'm sorry. It's not going to be from here. I know I am disappointing the appointed son and all of his followers, but it's not going to be from here. Zechariah says in chapter 14, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. He fight in the gate in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem in the east, not to Davao. And he will make a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half towards the south. Then you shall flee through the mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. And look what it says. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. The return of Jesus back on earth will be with the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the rapture is Christ comes for the church. The second coming is Christ comes with the church. The rapture is Christ is not touching earth. He's coming halfway to the clouds and we go to meet him in the air. The second coming, Christ with us coming, and his feet will stand on Mount of Olives. So the next time Jesus will set his feet on earth, it's with us. And in order to do that, we need to first go to be with him. Amen? Good. Is there any indication to Israel's salvation during the millennial kingdom? There is. Zechariah says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. When Israel will see Jesus, they will understand that they were wrong. Zechariah says that, not me. The prophet Zechariah, Zechariah in Hebrew, he's the one who wrote, Vehibitu elai et asher dakaru, vehemeru alav, kasher hemerim al ben, or al abechor. In Hebrew, it's so clear. By the way, the same wording of pierced appears also in the book of Revelation. Jeremiah pictures the millennium as a time when Israel and Judah will be united in peace. The city of Jerusalem will be called the throne of the Lord. Jesus, the righteous branch, will reign as the king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. Because of his new role as king, the name of Jesus will be changed to Adonai Tzidkenu, meaning the Lord is our righteousness. That's in Jeremiah 23:6. David also will serve a king like all of us. And the enemies of Israel will be destroyed according to Jeremiah 30. The city of Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt according to Jeremiah 30. And the population will be multiplied according to Jeremiah 30. The mourning of the Jewish people will be turned into joy. According to Jeremiah 31, the Jewish people will repent of the rejection of their Messiah and they will enter into a new covenant, New Testament. The Bible says in Hebrew, Venatati lachem brit chadasha, New Testament, New Covenant. I often tell my fellow Israelis, the word New Testament was promised to the people of the Old Testament. The word Brit Chadasha, New Testament, is in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The streets of Jerusalem will be filled with the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. Now, so we all understand everybody is now going to the tailor to make their suits for their time they will reign in Jerusalem. But who are we going to reign over? All right, that's going to be interesting. Who will be those subjects in the kingdom? Remember, there's going to be 7 years tribulation. Most of the population of the world is going to be gone. Those who will survive the tribulation, as we read from Zechariah, will be those that will live without a glorified body. Remember, who will receive a glorified body? Who? Only the one who has to be resurrected. You understand? So those who did not resurrect, those who survived, they don't have a resurrected body. They don't have a glorified body. That means that their body cells will continue to die. By the way, your body cells are dying right now. I mean, put your picture from 10 years ago. Hello? You're dying. There's a challenge right now. Everybody's doing that. I'll never do that. I look 10 times better 10 years ago. Why would I let people know that right now? I grieve quietly for the decay that goes through my body right now. I don't need to do it publicly. But my point is, the people who survive the tribulation and their descendants will be those that we are going to rule over. Zechariah says, shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to Jerusalem. Now, what about Jerusalem? How will Jerusalem be different than the one today? First of all, the river of life. Ladies and gentlemen, Ezekiel says that, and Zechariah 14 says, that when the earthquake is going to take place, Zechariah the prophet says, the earth will shake. Zechariah the prophet says, Mount of Olives will split into two. And Zechariah and Ezekiel both talk about river that comes out of the Mount of Moriah. Half of it, the Bible says, will go to the east, to the eastern sea, which is the Dead Sea. And the other half goes to the west, to the Great Sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea. And that river of life is so amazing that everywhere it goes, it will revive whatever is dead, whether it's plants or even water. That's how in the future, the Dead Sea will have tons of fish. You know, there's a group of Christians that came to the municipality by the Dead Sea, and they wanted to buy a fishing permit. Now the mayor is sitting right there, and he's looking at them. The Dead Sea is 35% salt. Nothing grows there. It's dead. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. Hello? And they want to buy fishing permits. Now, you can if you're corrupt, you'll sell it to them. Of course, there's no fishing here. But he had to ask them, why are you buying fishing permits? Why do you even need them in the Dead Sea? And you know what they told him? When was the last time you read your Bible? They said, we might be Christians, but it's in your Old Testament. Open Ezekiel and open Zechariah. Ezekiel says the same type of fish of the Great Sea will be in the Eastern Sea. In other words, they will swim up the river down and multiply. The Bible says they will cast the nets all the way from Ein Gedi to Ein Eglaim in the north. There will be no room for fishermen to cast more nets. There will be so many of them. Wow. The river of life. So Jerusalem, it'll be the same city, but with a river in its midst. Mount of Olives will be split. That's what the Bible says. But then there's another thing that Jerusalem will be different. And that is, of course, by the way, I wrote you the whole, you can move one and you see the whole description. But you can read it back home. The whole description of how the water comes and they all go all the way and you see, and their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the Great Sea. Exceedingly, it says that it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be of the same kinds of the fish of the Great Sea, exceedingly many, but its swamps and marshes will not heal. The Dead Sea, even today, is already divided. Have you seen the latest aerial photograph? There's 2/3 of deep sea and 1/3 of marshlands. This is the area of the evaporation pools and the hotels and all of that. Well, the northern part will be healed, the southern part will be left. So I would not invest in any hotel in the southern part of the Dead Sea. And then the fourth temple is going to stand. Wait a minute. How did we get to the fourth? Well, because we already had two. There will be a third one that the Antichrist is going to be reigning from. Christ comes, all of it is going to be destroyed in that earthquake, and then Ezekiel in chapter 40 all the way to chapter 45. Five chapters he's describing the new temple. By the way, the new temple bigger, grander, and more amazing than anything we ever had before. Now, let's agree, millennium is quite a long time, isn't it? I mean, 1,000 years? Guys, you will reign 1,000 years over people that will have mortal bodies. So you can tell someone, I knew your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. He was better than you. I mean, you could really say that. Literally. But isn't a millennium a long time? Well, first of all, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, it says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come towards repentance. So, first of all, for us, it will go just like that. For those who live, may not. But for us, like that. But now comes the most important part of this message today. What is the purpose of a period of 1,000 years to live with Christ on earth? Why don't Christ move directly to new heaven, new earth, and judge all the people right now, and that's it? Why do we have to have this thing in the middle, stuck there? First of all, the Bible says in John 3, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You understand that? The first coming of Jesus is to save, not to condemn. Okay? They had a chance. For the last 2,000 years all over the world, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you have a chance to enjoy the purpose for which God sent Jesus. And it is to save and not to condemn. And by the way, the Bible said regarding condemnation, if you remember, that he who receive Christ and believe in him is not condemned, but he who is not is condemned already. So if you want to be released from condemnation, you have to believe in him. He gave them the chance. Acts 17, he told Peter, Paul is standing in the middle of Athens, the capital of wisdom and of education in those days, and he's telling all of those super, super duper educated philosophers, he's telling them, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. The purpose of the millennial kingdom is that he will judge the world after that in righteousness. Wait a minute. So what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you this. I'm trying to tell you that there will be a period of 1,000 years where you can no longer say, Satan was there, there is a satanic presence, and that is why it's all about... Satan will not be there. He will be bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. God is going to display his righteousness by showing the whole world that for 1,000 years, not for 10, not for 100, for 1,000 years, there will be time without any satanic presence, yet people will reject. The truth has been preached in his first coming and will be displayed in his second coming. Yet I know that the nations will be ignorant, and although Jesus spoke about his second coming, it's so hard for them to believe. First of all, because Jesus is no longer riding a donkey, he's riding a horse. He's a political leader that is about to take his leadership. Jesus will come as a man of war. Everybody is so used to him giving the other cheek and forgiving and crying and hugging. Yes, that's what he came for now. But then, when he returns, is a man of war that will consume his enemies with the breath of his mouth. Jesus will come no longer to save the world, but rather to judge the world. He gives you a chance to be saved now, but if you choose not to receive the love of the truth that you might be saved, then you're already condemned. There are going to be two judgments during the millennial kingdom, the sheep and the goats and the great white throne of judgment. I want you to see this chart right after that. Jesus is going to return with his bride in his second coming. Remember, we have been raptured. There is a 7 years tribulation, and then he comes back. And there will be 1,000 years that Jesus and his bride will reign over the millions of unsaved subjects. And then he's going to judge again. Now, watch this. Can you, I think there's another slide. Is there another slide to it or no? Okay, no, go back. Okay, here the Bible says that when he comes in Joel chapter 3 and in Matthew 25, he's going to judge all the nations, sheep and goats. Though, and by the way, what is the criteria? How they treated Israel. If you treated Israel well, you're welcome to stay and enjoy the millennial kingdom. Hello? If you did not, you're gone. Okay, then they stay. And then at the end, another judgment, the great white throne of judgment, where all the people of the world who died in the history will be resurrected. That's the second resurrection, and judged. The new Jerusalem will come down for us, but they will be cast down. You know where to. There's judgment. Now, why it is so important for us today to study the events of such far future? Because your decision today will affect your place and role in the future. Choose him today, you'll rule with him tomorrow. There are no promotions in the millennial. You cannot be a subject and be so good that he will elevate you to be a ruler. If you want to be a ruler and a priest and a prince, today you have to choose him. A subject can never reign. Follow Jesus today and reign with him tomorrow. Reject Jesus today, you might not even see tomorrow. 2 Timothy says, this is faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Now, a lot of people ask me when I travel, Amir, what do you think? Can people get saved throughout the millennial kingdom? By the way, the same thing people ask me, can people get saved in the tribulation? It's not a valid question. Why? If God wanted you to know that there is more opportunities in the future, he would have not said today is the day for you to be saved. The urgency of accepting Christ today would have not been displayed in the scriptures. You have to understand, look, the Bible doesn't say you cannot be saved. But the Bible tells me that although salvation may be possible during the millennial kingdom, all I know is that you will not be there if you choose to reject him today. So maybe then, in the future, someone will, but it's not going to be you if you reject him today, because you will not make it to the millennial kingdom. So it's a relevant question for you. Oh, I'm asking for a friend. Really? 2 Thessalonians 2 is going to tell you what's going to happen to you if you choose to deny and reject. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Don't bank on salvation in the millennial kingdom. The only description that we do have of people of the non-believers in the millennial kingdom is not really that flattering. Did you hear about that second Gog and Magog? Has anyone heard that there's another one? Let me tell you, folks. There is the famous Gog and Magog everybody knows from Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, now when the 1,000 years have expired, remember what happened? He sealed him up for how long? And then he had, well, the Bible says he must, say must. He must be released for a short time, the Bible says. Satan will be released from his prison. And I told you he must. Why? Because I told you God is going to reign and judge in righteousness. Remember? So God is going to prove to the whole world and display to the whole world that when he is going to judge them and condemn them, it's in righteousness, because look what they're going to do when Satan will once again, for a short time, will show himself. The Bible says, and he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, you see? And then what? To gather them together to battle. And look how many, whose number is of the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. Ladies and gentlemen, after 1,000 years that Jesus will reign on earth, there will be peace between animals. There will be peace between animals and mankind. There will be such great joy in the whole world. Once Satan is released for such a short time, guess what? Millions will join him once again. And who are they going to come against? The saints in the beloved city. And that is why he had to be released for a short time. To expose to the whole world that men's heart is desperately wicked. To expose to the whole world, when I judge them, it will be in righteousness. When I condemn them, it will be because they deserve it. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you want to be saved, don't wait for the millennial kingdom. A, you will not live there. B, even if you live there, the chances are that you are going to be deceived by Satan once again and turn against the believers. So I want you to remember, the gospel displays the urgency of salvation because it will be almost impossible for you to believe any other time in the future. God is a righteous God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he whosoever believe in him will not perish, but he have eternal life. Ki ko ahav Elohim et haolam ad asher natan et bno yechido, shekol ha-ma'amin bo lo yovad ela inchal chaye olam. This is all John 3:16 in Hebrew. I just want you to understand. Choose him today. Today, now, is the accepted time of the Lord.
Oh, wow, that is, things are going to change one day, be so much different. And the question for us this morning is, are we ready? Are we ready for the changes? By the way, that was broadcast from the Revival Center in Davao, the Philippines, Mizpah. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting, kind of neat. Yeah. But are we ready for the changes to come? Either Jesus is going to come back or we're going to die. And we need to be ready. And I think what Amir is saying, that our opportunity is now, and the opportunities down the road may not be there for us. So it's just so important that we respond to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. It's going to be interesting that we come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years, and God's wrath is going to be poured out on the earth. But, you know, we can escape that. We can escape. We can be taken up in the clouds with the Lord when he comes back, and then we can come back with Christ. We escape the tribulation, and we go into the millennial reign. It's our decision today. And make that decision today. It says that if you hear, 2 Corinthians 6:26, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So if you want to make a decision today, I'll be at the front. We can pray with you as the team comes forward. Come on up, everybody, and we'll sing a final hymn. And we'll anyone that wants to make a decision for Christ today, today's the day. So don't wait.